This Shabbos is the second parak of Pirkei Avos, so there's a lot. There'll always be more, you know. I mean, there'll always be more things we have to leave behind. So we'll try to get a little bit from the second parak. All right, so let's see. Let's see how.
Think that every week, you know, like there's you got the Friday, like wait, I didn't get to all these different, you know, parts yeah. from they got, you know, like he.
Such is life. My father taught me that lesson. There'll always be. My father said to me one time that he like came to the realization that he's not going to be able to finish everything. What was different the day before? He knew he wasn't going to finish everything the day before also. But when you accept that, you know, that life is limited and you got to make the most of it. It's humbling. Whatever. We do the best we can. All right, so let's see. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, Eizahu derech yishara sheyavur lahadam. What is the proper path that a person should be yavur, right? The pasha pshat is to yavur means to choose. Kol shi tiferes lo sev, tiferes lo min adam. Mamish today's Sirius Omer. Not tonight, but today's. Right? Today was the 17th day of the Omer. Tiferes, Shabbat tiferes. So it should be tiferes. The pasha pshat is, what's a good path? A balanced path. It should be good for you. It should bring honor to you. And it should bring honor to others. It should make others happy. It should make you happy. Right? Don't be selfish and don't be too selfless. V'hevizor b'mitzvah kala k'vechamura. Treat a light mitzvah like a heavy mitzvah because we don't know the schar, the value of mitzvos. And make sure at the same time that you appreciate what you're trading away when you don't choose a mitzvah. Right? What you're willing to take on as a punishment for the little pleasure of an aveira, it's never worth it. And istakel b'shlosha dvarim, think about these three things and you'll never come to sin. Da ma'ala ma'ala mimcha, know what is above you. A watching eye, a listening ear, and all of our actions are being written down. Okay, so let's start with the very creative pshat to the Baal Shem Tov on Eizuhi derech yishara sheyavur lohadam. What is the proper path that a person should choose? It should be tiferes for you, and it should be tiferes for others. But the Baal Shem Tov reads it, or read it, totally differently. Baal Shem Tov says that the word yavur, which means to choose, could also be a lashon of bor. What's a bor? A boor is an empty person. So in other words, the Mishnah is telling us, what is the path, right, that will make you into a boor? What is the path that will make you into an empty person? What is the path that'll leave you broken? Perish Eza Derech Yeshara. What is the proper path, and by extension, what is the path to avoid? Me'eza midos yimna atzmo. What is the path that a person should choose? And the inverse, right? What is the path that a person should refrain from? Shiavur lashon reikus. Bor again means to be a, right? Like it says ein bor yarechet. Right, a person who's a bor, a person who's an unrefined person can't be a God fearing person. So bor means an empty person. So what is the path that leads to emptiness? So first and foremost, kol shehu tiferes loosa, anything that gives honor to the one who does it. And the way the Baal Shem Tov understood that, ratzal lomar, sheosa hamitzvah b'seiser. We're going to learn Kedarko Bekodesh. Baal Shem Tov was very sensitive to false gaiva and to false anava. Right? And they're both very important. Don't be too down on yourself, and don't deceive yourself into thinking you're more than you are. Be honest. Baal Shem Tov came to be megala, a truthfulness to a person, to be self-aware. So if a person does a mitzvah and he does it secretly, which is a very heiliga thing when a person does a secret mitzvah, right? You feel unbelievable, like no one knows about this. Right? It's mamish between me and Hashem. On the one hand, that's the most beautiful mitzvah. But the Baal Shem Tov says, be careful. Because when you do a mitzvah secretly and no one knows about it, aval hu sover machshavto she'oved es Hashem, v'yesh lo hisparus mazeh, beino lebein atzmo. Even though it's just him and himself, but when a person feels full of himself, that he knows he did a great secret of mitzvah, right? When he does mitzvos, berabim, okay. But when he does a secret mitzvah, he feels like, ah, I'm mamish, like a hidden tzaddik. And by the way, you are on a certain level. Right? Your secret avodas Hashem is a very important part of your avodas Hashem. But when a person, you know, becomes too excited by that, to the point that he's giving kavod to himself, and the second part of the Mishnah, if it's tiferes lo asa, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and additionally, kol shekein, kesha tiferes lo min ha'adam, all the more so when you do a mitzvah publicly for the kavod. I mean, the Baal Shem Tov is saying, even when you do a secret mitzvah, and it's just you and Hashem, but you feel a little shtickle gaiva, be careful. Be careful to take that kavod for yourself. All the more so when you do it dafka to get cover from others. What's a lomar? Sha'osaha mitzvah lekabel hisparus min ha'adam. Right? So this is the path, again, the pashup shot in the Mishnah is, what is the path you should choose? A balanced path that gives honor to you and gives honor, makes, you know, it's pleasing to you and it's pleasing to others. The Baal Shem Tov said, what is the path that should be chosen? And by extension, what is the path that should be avoided because it'll make you empty? If you do things that give honor to yourself, even though it's a secret mitzvah, but if you give kavod to yourself, it's also not right. All the more so, tiferes lo min ha'adam, if I become a kavod seeker, always chasing after kavod, a million times more so, it's not right. If I do it dafka to get kavod from other people, right? That people are going to say, ooh, look at him, he's a Yarei Elokim, he's a God-fearing guy, he's a chashav mensch. Mikolze yimnes atzmo. Run away from kavod. Don't do it ever for the kavod. Do it for the right reason. And when you do it for the right reason, now we understand the rest of the Mishnah. Right? If doing something for Tiferes so that people can give me honor, or even if I can give myself honor, that's going to make it very hard to what? To do all mitzvahs. Because I'm going to start picking and choosing this mitzvah. You know, if a person does certain things, he gets more kavod, so I become a kavod chaser. But if I do things l'shem shamayim, and it's not about even my own kavod towards myself, so then the Mishnah says, im tasa zeh, azai have a zohir b'mitzvah kala k'b'chamura. Then I don't have to worry, I don't have to cheshbon it out. This mitzvah makes me feel good. This mitzvah makes me well recognized by others. I do mitzvahs because Hashem tells me to do mitzvahs. Sha'az einat yodea matan tzcharen shel mitzvahs. I'm not a person who's evaluating how much kavod am I going to get from this mitzvah. Eletasa shi'anachas ruach labori yisbarach shemo. I'm doing it l'shem shemayim. B'lishum tashlam gmul milakabel hisparos. It's never about my kavod. Not even the kavod I give myself, even the secret kavod I give myself, even that I'm not interested in. I want to be an Eved Hashem. Shem tirtza lekabel hisparos tidaktik b'mitzvos imhikal imchamura. Because if I'm the type of person who's looking to get something out of a mitzvah, or even to give myself a spiritual boost from the mitzvah, so then I'm gonna try to choose things that feel more right. And I'm gonna say this mitzvah doesn't do it for me. And that would be a terrible failure to start picking and choosing mitzvahs. But if a person does it l'shem shemayim, then it doesn't matter. Kala, chamura, chashav a mitzvah, a simple mitzvah, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter how people view this mitzvah. It's one of Hashem's mitzvahs, and I'm going to do all of the mitzvahs, and I'm going to do them well. Now, our Mishnah says, what is the derech that a person should choose? So let's learn. The Baal Shem Tov is going to explain to us now a pasuk in Tehillim. So I gave you the whole pasuk just so we could see it merosh. Horeini Hashem darkecha. It's a beautiful pasuk. David Melech says, Hashem, teach me your derech, guide me on your road, unecheini ba'orach mishor, right? And direct me on the straight path. Leman shorarai. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to what? To walk the derech and to walk the orach. Chaver, what's the difference between a derech and an orach? A derech is a path, an orach is a path? A path and a path. What's the difference between the two? Why does David, is it just poetic license that David HaMelech says, set me on the path and set me on the path? Are derech and orach the same word? They both mean path, loosely translated. So explain the Baal Shem Tov, and it'll help us to understand, again, part of what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is telling us, to search out a derech. But David HaMelech is saying, it's not just the derech, you also need to ask Hashem to help you to find the orach. What's the difference between the derech and the orach? So the Baal Shem Tov explained, Hine yadua ki derech nikra kavusha. A derech is like a paved road. A derech is a proper street. A derech is a paved highway. An orach is like a little pathway. You know, maybe someone put down some stones just so the backyard's not so muddy if you're cutting through, you know, your backyard to your neighbor's backyard. Maybe someone threw down a piece of wood to make it easier if it gets a little muddy there in the winter. But it's a path. People use this shortcut. But it's not a road. It's not a paved road. An orach is eina kavusha. It's not well-tread. It's not a proper road. What is David HaMelech saying? David HaMelech says, Hashem, help me to walk the derech and help me to walk the orach. Obviously, when you're on a proper road, it's much easier to feel safe. When you're making your way through some little path in the forest, it's easier for a person to get injured. It's easier for a person to get lost. When you're on the main highway, there's signs all over the place telling you exactly where to go. So too, within a person, there's two types of avodas Hashem. There's two aspects, two elements of avodas Hashem. There's the derech hakvusha ba'avodas habarius barach shemo. There's the proper, well-tread path. Sheyelech tamid b'zeh haderech, u'bevadai lo yita misocha. There's a path that, if you walk on this path, you kind of know what you're signing up for. And that's one path. And what would that path be? The hainu adam shepoyresh es atzmo mikol ha'inyonim. When you're in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's cave, right? It's a safe place. You know what you're signing up for. It's Torah, it's Tefillah, it's Hashem. There's nothing else. There's no temptations. There's no distractions. A person who's in the base medrash, so to speak, is on that derech. Right? We even use the term on the derech, off the derech. A person whose whole life is surrounded by ruchnius, he's not so worried about getting lost. This person's a big tzaddik. He only says what he needs to say. He's very measured in his. Right? Everything is paved. Everything is precise. Everything is safe. It's steady. You have a sense of where you're trying to get to. But sometimes, chevra, life takes you on the back roads. It's most people. Right? Most of us are not on the, always on the nice, smooth sailing, paved roads. We're often thrown off onto the, to the little roads. We're trying to find, and the Waze is recalculating because I made a wrong turn. A person who's involved in the world, and you have to talk to people, and yet at the same time, David Melech is, but even on the Orach, there's a way to be yashar, to stay straight. So I have a job. And I have a parnasa, and I'm working in some office building in Midtown Manhattan, and most of my coworkers aren't Jewish, and the language of their conversation is not filled with Torah, is not filled with Avodas Hashem, but there's a way for me to be there, kind of on the off-road, and to still stay on the straight path. There's a way for a person to maintain his Yirah Shemayim in that place. Achediburim heim l'shem Shemayim. I remind myself, how did I get to this road? Why am I in this place? How can I connect to Hashem in this place? What someone else might be saying in the conversation, I'm listening in a different way. I'm trying to connect in a different way. I try to make sure that even in that back road or in that back room, my words are still filled with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And now he's saying there's even tzaddikim who dafka know how to take sort of the mundane speech and to elevate it. As we see by Kama B'nai Adam, by certain tzaddikim, certain people. Nimsa Shabavade Mutter Ladabar B'dvar Meila. Even though you're not talking Kama B'av Metzi and B'av Basra, but your words are still spiritual. But obviously, when you're reading a Mishnah, when you're reading a Pasuk, when you're working on a Tosvos, when you're studying one of the Svarma Kadoshim, right, you're on a main road. When a person goes into places that are sort of off the road, the danger is obviously much, much greater. It's not to say that you can't stay on the straight path. That's what David HaMelech is saying. Horeini Hashem Darkecha, Hashem set me on the derech, but also Nacheini Ba'orach Mishur, help me to maintain myself when I'm on the orach, when I'm on the back roads. But the sakana is great in these places. Ki ula yita miderech atov yaschil adabr dvarim betelim. Gam kein bederech hamon ha'am. Because, you show up your first day to your summer internship and you're sitting in your office during the break and you're looking at your pocket mishnayos, right? But by like the third day, you're already spending the whole break, trading YouTube videos with your non-Jewish colleague, right? So it's easier for a person when you're in a certain environment, when you're not on a well-tread road, so to speak, of Avodas Hashem, it's easy to lose oneself. For such a thing, a person needs to daven. And daven the way that David HaMelech said, Hashem, help me when I'm on the orach, in those moments in life where, the road's a little more bumpy, help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to what? To maintain my connection to you. And David HaMelech is being very realistic. Horeini Hashem darkecha, shetoreini she'id l'derech hakvusha, help me to find those main highways in life, so that I'm able to walk on my own, right? Just point me in the right direction, because when I'm on that derech Hashem, again, not to say I can do anything without Hashem, right? But I feel much more steady on my own, but nacheni ba'orach mishur. Nacheni implies a little bit more when I'm on those back roads. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, carry me and support me. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi opens the second parak of Pirkei Avos. Eizahu derech yishara sheyavor lo adam. Halavai we should choose the derech. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh also, you know, cared about the Jews who are a little off the road. And that's what he taught us. There's a way to stay connected when you're not on the main highway. Right? That's, he says also, the Pshat and the Pasuk in Mishle in the third parak, Bechol derechecha da'ehu, to know Hashem in all of your ways. Anyone know the end of the Pasuk? V'hu yiyasher or chosecha. Know Hashem in all your ways, and then Hashem will yiyasher, will straighten out what? Or chosecha. Hashem will straighten out the unpaved roads. Perish b'chol derechecha kavushim, tzarech ha'adam ba'atmo leida heitev eich yelech v'yiznaig b'hem. On the paved roads, a person has to know, obviously, how to find his way. Right? But b'chol derechecha de'eyu, v'zeh yachol ha'adam leido l'isnaig, v'hu yiyasher or chosecha. If I can show Hashem that I know at least how to keep it together, you know, when I should be able to keep it together, then Hashem will help me. When I'm on the orach, Hashem will be miyasher at lefanecha. Hashem will straighten it out for you, and Hashem will see this guy is a type of person who wants to be connected, and Hashem will hold your hand, so to speak, on the bumpy roads of life. Okay? All right, the Mishnah said, have a zohir b'mitzvah kala k'bechamura. We know the tzaddikim say on usvartem lachem for Sfiras Omer, that usvartem, sapir, is a lashon of what? Of illuminating or shining. Usvartem lachem, to make something shine. The word zahir, pashup shat, means to be zahir, be cautious, be careful. But there's also, it says the Baal Shem Tov, have a zahir is also a lashon of what? Like the Zohar. No, it's almost like Bomer. As crazy as that sounds. Sfir moves quick. You know what else moves quick? I'll tell you what else moves quick. Life moves quickly. So pay attention before you wake up and you realize you're 40 years old. I'm only 39. I'm a young guy. I still have, what's today? I still have like 15 days till my 40th birthday. It's fine. I'm not even thinking about it. Okay. So, yeah, be zahir b'mitzvah kala k'bechamura. Be zahir with a mitzvah. What does zahir mean? Zahir means to make something shine. Perish, we'll just read over here. Zahir milashon hamaskilim yazhiru k'zohar harakia. That a person who's wise is able to shine, right? Like the shining sky. So what does it mean, be zahir with a mitzvah kala k'vechamura? Make your mitzvah shine. What's a lomar? Haneshama tazhir v'to'ir mi mitzvah kala k'mo mi mitzvah chamura. But it's also, it's not just telling us what we're supposed to do. It's reminding us that what separates, so to speak, a mitzvah kala from mitzvah chamura? Now again, we don't even know how to translate that. Is a mitzvah kala an easy mitzvah? And a chamura is a hard mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah that is not expensive versus a mitzvah that's expensive? A mitzvah that takes a lot of time versus a mitzvah that I can do in a second? A mitzvah that takes a lot of emotional energy versus a mitzvah which is much easier to do? But if you think about it, what's the underpinning? What's the yesod of every mitzvah? I want to be connected to Hashem. So should I be able to what? To shine more from a heavy mitzvah than from an easy mitzvah? At the end of the day, what's Hashem going to look at when he looks at my mitzvah? It's true, this mitzvah maybe took more effort, and this mitzvah maybe happened more easily. Kibud av v'em is the hardest mitzvah to do, and the Torah promises a long life. And shiluach hakein is the easiest mitzvah to do, to just chase away the mother bird, and that also promises long life. So Hashem says, don't try to figure out which mitzvahs score more points. Realize, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuvav, Rachmano liba bai, Hashem wants your heart. It could be an easy mitzvah, but if you do it b'lev shalem, if you do it in a way of connecting to Hashem, you're going to be glowing. And if you put in all this effort to a heavy mitzvah, but you're not making the mitzvah shine, then what's it really worth? What's all the extra effort worth? So again, have a zahir. Be mindful of the fact that you could shine just as much from a small mitzvah, if done the right way, than one can from a heavy mitzvah. Because Rachmana liba bai, at the end of the day, what does Hashem want more than anything else? Hashem wants us to do mitzvahs for the right reason, to be connected to Him. Hashem desires our hearts. Okay? The end of the Mishnah was what? Da ma'al ma'al mimcha. Know what is above you. Hashem is watching, an eye that sees, an ear that hears, and everything is recorded in the book. Okay. So let's talk. This is a very strong piece. It comes from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Ekev. And of course, it's based on what he heard from his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. This is really, really important. Da mal lemal mimcha, many tzaddikim. Both Talmidei Baal Shem Tov and Talmidei Hagra explain, da mal lemal mimcha. Know, you should know, that mal lemal mimcha. What happens above is from you. One of the hardest parts about being a Jew is actually believing that what we do matters. There's a part of us, if I asked you right now, do you believe your davening matters? Yeah, of course my davening. Do you believe your mitzvahs matter? Yeah, of course, yeah. But none of us really believe it. None of us believe it enough. None of us really believe that my Amen Yeheshme Rabba said B'kol Ram could rip up a gezeirah of 70 years. That you could literally save someone's life with one heartfelt Amen. None of us really believe that. We believe it as a Ma'ariv Makom. I saw it in a Sefer. I saw it in a Ma'ariv Chazal. A little bit. I believe it enough to say that I believe it. But there's a part of us that struggles to believe that. Shamati Mimori says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, I heard from my Rebbe the Baal Shem Tov. Sherov an vasanuso shel adam gorim shenesrachek me'avodas Hashem Yizbarach. Being too humble. Who am I that my avodah should matter? So you're going to end up distancing yourself from avodas Hashem. Because you're going to think, well, like, yeah, like if a tzaddik says amen yesh merabba, so it can change the world. But that false humility, that anava psula, causes you to stop trying in avodas Hashem because you don't think your mitzvahs matter enough. Shemitzad shefluso eno mamin ki adam gorem al yidei tfiloso v'toraso shefa el kol olamos. You don't really believe, says the Baal Shem Tov, that your Torah and tefillah brings down shefa to the whole world. You don't believe that someone who's sick is going, that they can get better because you davened. V'gam ha-malachim nizonen al yidei Torah sa tefiloso. Yeah, I don't even know what a malach is. I don't even know, we talk about worlds. I don't even know what worlds means. You don't have to know what those things mean. You have to know that Hashem wants us to believe that the malachim are sustained from your Torah and tefillah. That the world is sustained by your Torah and tefillah. She'ilu hayamamin zeh, kam hayaoved Hashem besimcha uveyira mirov kol. Because if you really believe that, you'd be going crazy at the opportunity to do every mitzvah that you could. You would stand with your sitter, you know, it's hard for me to concentrate. The Baal Shem Tov says, it's not about concentrating. It's about you don't believe that every v'lam al shinim stops an enemy of Klal Yisrael from harming the Jewish people. And you don't believe that every atachon in la'adam das makes you a little bit smarter. And you don't believe that every refa'inu brings healing to someone who needs healing. We don't believe that enough. So that's why we mumble through our davening. And to take to heart what Shlomo Melech said. Shlomo Melech. David Melech? It's David Melech. No, it's Pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, I'm not sure why it says Shlomo. Im Tishkavun. Pasuk says, Im Tishkavun Bein Shifatayim. If you lie between the borders. But Chazal darshan it, Shifatayim like Sifasayim, lips. Right? They darshan the shin as a sin. Shakadish Baruch Hu Shomer V'Shokir Al Sifsei HaAdam. This is these words of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef are so beautiful. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching and waiting. The lips, Hashem is literally, you know, just try to picture it. Not that we can picture Hashem, but try to picture whatever, you know, whatever we're allowed to picture. Picture HaKadosh Baruch Hu like just sitting there watching your lips, waiting for you to open your mouth to start saying a parak of Tehillim. Hashem can't wait for you to say, the second you start the first Mishnah and Brachos, Hashem is sitting there watching your lips. Im tishkavun bein shifatayim, between the borders, what means bein sfasayim. Hashem is sitting there and watching, right at the border of your lips, waiting for the border to open, so to speak. And you know what Hashem does? The second you move your lips, Hashem kisses you on the lips. Hashem waits and sits there lenoishkam to kiss you on your lips. A Jew starts to say Torah, starts to daven with awe and with love, and Hashem kisses you. If we would realize that, right, we'd be trembling from the fact that Hashem, the creator of the universe, is sitting watching my lips. We don't even believe this piece as we're reading it. It's like the Gemara says in Gittin. The Gemara says that an vasenusho shrab Zacharia garam chorban. The humility of Rav Zacharia, ben Avkulas, I think was his name, right, caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash. His false humility, his inability to have confidence in himself and the decision that he made, which led to the Romans destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Kacha Adam Roy Lesum Lev. It's true. I'm sitting with my feet on the ground. My feet are touching the earth. Planet Earth, the lowest of the worlds. But Rosha Magia Hashemaima, but there's a part of me that's touching the highest heights of Kisei HaKavod. Right? Like Yaakov Avinu's dream. V'chol tnuosa v'diburo v'hilucho v'asakav. Every move I make, everything that I say, it's osa roshem lamala lamala. And that's what Pirkei Avos is telling us. Da ma lamala mimcha. What's going on in worlds that we can't even begin to imagine what they are being totally impacted by our decisions and by our actions. Ubevada yizar b'chol derachav asakav shi'el l'shem shemayim. How could I not, again, put in the effort to do the right things for the right reasons when I realize what's dependent upon me? Masha ein kein kishachoshev adam ma ani, who am I? Who am I? Ma ani safun livgom o letakin lamalu lamata. What am I worth to cause damage above or to fix something above or even below? Who am I that I should have such a hashpa that angels are going to be impacted positively or negatively by me? She had nirsham kol eski lamala, that everything I do makes a roshim and shemayim. I should believe such a thing. And because of that, this person lives a carefree lifestyle, says the Baal Shem Tov. It's not true. Because a person has to understand that what? That the actions that I make matter. And that's what it means. That's what Amish is telling us. Da ma la ma la mimcha. Ratzalomar mimcha teda. You should know. Eiza mida shenis or becha shekachu lamala. The way that you're acting down below is having an unbelievable hashpa up above. And the Baal Shem Tov is begging us to stop with the false humility and say, yeah, who am I to make such a difference? You can make such a difference. We have to believe that. Okay, and lastly on this Mishnah, V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. He brings an unbelievable mashal, a beautiful mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. Every night when a person goes to sleep, your neshama goes up. We'll talk about that in a different context in a few minutes. The separation of neshama and guf at the time that a person sleeps. But every night when your neshama goes up, it processes what happened that day. You go to sleep, your neshama goes up, and there's a din v'cheshbon on that day. Right, one went right, one went wrong. So the Baal Shem Tov explained with the following mashal. Imagine a king who sends his son, his only son, to the battlefields. And he says to his son, who's a tremendously courageous warrior, a general, he says, listen, I know you're going to be victorious many times over, and I want that as you conquer territory, and as you have spoils of war, you take from the booty of your enemy, I want you to send some of it back so I can get an update on how things are going. I want you to send back to the palace some of the spoils. So he says, Shema Bini, listen, my son. Hine'ata yotze lemochama. Right, and I know you're going to have a lot of shalal. There's going to be a lot of booty, a lot of spoils. Do lecha ki alecha lishloach es shalal elai ma'at ma'at. So send a little bit at a time. You won a little battle, whatever you take from that battle, send it back to the palace. Don't wait to bring back, wagons full of spoils at the end of the battle. So the son says to his dad, to his father, the king, he says, Tati, I don't understand. I'm going to send you these little pekalach with all these little things, and it's not kovadik. Wouldn't it be more chashiv if I come back from the battle at the end of, at the end of the whole campaign, the whole battle, the end of the war, and I come back and I bring, cartfuls, wagonful of all the spoils that I conquered. Wouldn't that give more kavod to you? You're a chash of a king. It'll be much more, prestigious. It'll be much more of a display of my success, which is your success, if I come all at once. Much more than if I send it kima a little bit at a time. So the king says, that's very sweet of you, my son. That's beautiful. That's very thoughtful. But I'm worried about one thing. What would happen if, God forbid, at the very end of a long campaign, of a military campaign, what would happen if at the very end there was a sneak attack and something went wrong and the enemies, win that final skirmish and maybe you escape, maybe you make it out alive, but you lose all the things that you've collected along the way and all of that booty and all of those spoils, all those precious materials are lost and they take everything from you and you're left with nothing at all. So therefore, send a little bit at a time. And that way, at least whatever you've sent, I'll be able to hold on to for you, and it's yours forever. Ulam kishatishlach li miyad, mashatishlol os hayom. If you send back whatever you captured on that day, v'lo techakeh at sof ha-melchama, you don't wait till the war is over to bring it all back at once. Hare mashatishlach yishar kvar shalcha. That's already yours. Chaver, what's the Baal Shem Tov saying with this mashal? I think what he's saying. I think there's a lot of things that he's saying, but I think part of what we're answering is the fact that, like, Hashem, why do I have to be judged, you know, every day, right? On a certain level, like, give me a chance to, like, you know, to work it all out over the course of time. But it's actually a tremendous chesed of Hashem that Hashem collects your successes along the way, because, again, there is a danger, and that's also part of what this, you know, this message is. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantees who's going to make it to the end. There was a Kohen Gadol who served as a Kohen Gadol for decades, and the Gemara says went off the derech. A Kohen Gadol. So there's no guarantees. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu collects a little bit at a time. And sometimes when you feel like, you know, so Hashem, like, I come back every night, and you know, how much do I have to bring each day? But the truth is, at the end of a lifetime, you'll see what you've, you know, you'll see what you've collected over the course of a lifetime. And all of that which is deposited by Hashem is yours forever. So it's actually tremendous rachem shamayim that a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes a little bit from you. We feel like it's not kedai to give you such small gifts. But Hashem says, don't worry. I'd rather collect it along the way and guard it for you than, God forbid, have you lose it somewhere along the military campaign. I think it's a powerful mashal, and I think, again, there's a lot more to unpack from that mashal. Okay, let's go on a little bit to the next Mishnah. We'll see. It's already almost 8:40, so we'll see. We'll do a little bit more. Okay, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, taught us, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Right? Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. You need a combination of Torah with Derech Eretz. Let's translate Derech Eretz as worldly pursuits. And the Mishnah says that any Torah, chol Torah, she'eini ma malacha, if you don't have Torah with malacha, dragged into a world of sin. The Baal Shem Tov, one of his greatest chidushim, is encapsulated in this next paragraph. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, and it's a controversial idea if understood improperly, and it's a game changer for life if understood properly. What is Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz? Anyone here planning on learning full time for the rest of their life? Don't be shy to admit it if you are. Well, Isaac, I know you're thinking about it. Yeah. Okay, most of us will probably have some type of profession one day, right? Yeah, profession. Well, we're going to do something probably to make a living. Okay. So many of us are going to spend our life, you know, derech eretz. It's part of the curse of Adam Rishon. It's part of reality. But when a person understands how to be osek in malacha, how to be engaged in the world, and to do his job in the way that Hashem wants him to do, the Baal Shem Tov says, in a certain sense, that is Torah. And let's explain why. Esek masa umatan hu gamkein avoda v'torah. Now already, you know, people who don't understand what the Baal Shem Tov is saying are very upset. What do you mean? You're telling me a guy going to his job as an accountant is Torah? Where do you get such an idea? Sitting and learning Maseches Chulin is Torah. Sitting and learning Mishnayis Negaim, this week's Parsha, Tazriya Metzorah, is Torah. Sitting and learning Ramban on Chumash is Torah. Sitting at an office, crunching numbers is Avodah, is Torah. How is that Avodah Hashem? But the Baal Shem Tov said everything is Avodah Hashem. How could that not be Avodah Hashem? Ki kama dinim yesh al zeh. Because when a person does anything in this world and he thinks to himself, hold on a second, how does Torah want me to do this? How does the Rabbonu Shel Olam want me to do this? If I do it the way Hashem wants me to do it, in a certain sense, it's better, and this is really controversial, than a person who just learns about it. Because if you're learning about it, it's all theoretical. The person who's sitting and learning Bav Metzia, and the person who's out in the field living Bav Metzia, in a certain sense, I know it sounds a little controversial, but in a certain sense, the Baal Shem Tov says, the one who's applying it, he's living the Torah. The Baal Shem Tov said, Ki ma'odam ha'lo meides ha'Torah l'shem ha'bor yisbach. If a person learns about what Hashem in theory would want, l'mashal, he's learning a Mishnah, hamachlif para b'chamor, one who exchanges a para for a donkey, and he's in the Beis Medrash, and he's analyzing it intellectually, He's trying to understand what is, you know, how does this halacha work? What do the Rishonim say? And that's very chashuv in the eyes of Hashem. So the Baal Shem Tov says, Kol Shekein, Im Oseh Hadavar, Umachlef Para B'chamor. All the more so a person who actually lives that halachic reality of actually exchanging a para for a chamor. Umanig Atzmo Bezel Pitora. And he's now applying the Torah. Right? Again, the way the Baal Shem Tov says it, it sounds like it's a big chiddush. It's really not such a big chiddush. Right? What's the point of learning? It's Lilmod Amanas Lasos. Lo HaMedrash HaIkar Ela HaMaisa. That's a mission in Pirkei Avos. The main thing is not the study of it, it's the application of it. So what is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Okay, at a certain level, when I attach my mind to the mind of Hashem, in a certain sense, that's the highest. But the Baal Shem Tov said, but what if we bring it into Gashmias? What if I don't just live it with my mind, which is my neshama, but I live it with my limbs out in the middle of a field? That's also, how could that not be Torah? How could that not be Avodas Hashem? In a certain sense, it's greater. Vada yoser chashav avoda mula. There's no question it's considered a very great avoda, perhaps even a greater avoda. Ki kol davar sheyesh ba'olam akol lo baro kadosh baruch hu el lechvodo. The Baal Shem Tov was tired of the elite Talmidei Chachamim telling the chever who are schlepping around, you know, with their wagons and their horses, that they're not mekusher to Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov sat with those, you know, with those coachmen, and he taught them that, what do you mean? Every second of your life you're with Hashem. V'chol davar katan v'gadol einu v'snai kiyam al pi ha-Torah. If you live in the presence of Hashem, shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. If you live al pi halacha, if you live in accordance with Torah values, if that's infused into everything you do, it's not when I'm in the Beis Medrash, when I'm in shul, so I'm serving Hashem. And when I step out, it's like, you know, neutral or negative territory. God forbid. Everything is avodas Hashem. And he says that's perhaps the pshat of the Gemara in Shabbos, where one of the questions that we're asked at the end of our life is what? Is nasata v'natata be'amuna? We're asked the following question. Did you do your business dealings honestly? Additionally, the other question, one of the other six questions that were asked is, were you what? Were you kavata itim l'Torah? Did you set aside time for Torah? The Baal Shem Tov says, on a certain level, it's one question. Ratzalomar. Im hu nosei v'nosein be'amuna, shema min b'habor yisbarach u'v'ha-Torah. If a person has amuna, and he understands that what? That all of my, yes, there's a curse of Adam Rishon, I have to work, I have to b'zeyas apecha tocha lechem, it's all true. But if a person understands that my business, my financial success is all in the hands of Hashem, and he lives his life al pi Torah, right, which is called amuna, then what? Then kavata itim l'Torah. Perish, kol ha'itim, afilu shalo b'shas limud. Then he has established through his unwavering faith and Torah values, doesn't matter what he's doing, all of his time is what? Is alpi Torah. Everything is Torah. Kol ha'itim afilu shalo b'shas limud, kulam heim kviyas l'Torah. Everything is kavua according to the Torah. And that's what it means. Yafa Torah im derech eretz. If your derech eretz is not Torahdik, then That's so chaval that you think that how much time do I spend in Avodas Hashem? Well, I daven shachar, so that was, you know, I don't know if I went to a long minyan, that's like 45 minutes. And then I daven mincha, so that's like another 12 minutes. Ma'ariv, right? Maybe 15 minutes if I'm... And then I learned a little bit in the morning, I learned a little bit at night, so that's another... Right? But like 20 out of 24 hours of my day is not Avodas Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov said, no way. No such thing. Understand that if you're living the Torah, then that's Torah. That's Avodas Hashem. There's no I'm on, I'm off. It's all Avodas Hashem. If I live with the Amunah that the Borei Olam is involved in everything I'm doing, then my whole day is Torah. My whole entire day is Torah. And that's what Baal Shem Tov came to teach. This more than anything, I think, captures the ultimate message of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That a Jew is not on and off in Avodas Hashem. And there's not, you know, it's not that certain people have the opportunity to be with Hashem all the time and other people not. Everyone is with Hashem all the time in different ways. Again, the back roads, like we learned earlier, have more risks. So if you're zocha to stay in the Beis Medrash your whole life and learn Torah your whole life, if you have the financial means to do that, kol hakavod to you. Go for it. But realize that the person who's what? Who's nasatav and atatav amuna, who's doing business with faith, is not any less of an Eved Hashem. And it's not any less of a person whose whole life is Torah. than the person who sits and learns all day. The Baal Shem Tov really believe that. It wants us to believe that also. Okay? All right, I'm going to skip a little bit just for, because I want to get to, let's do two more pieces. Let's jump to Mishnah Dalet. Hu haya omer asei ritzono ki ritzonecha, kedei sheyase ritzoncha ki ritzono. Right, we try to surrender our ratzon to Hashem, and we hope that if we negate our will for Hashem's will, then Hashem will make sure that people who are out to get us will not be able to do so. Okay, Hillel says, don't separate from the tzibur, don't trust yourself to the day that you die. Va'al tadin es chavercha ad shetagil lemkomo. And don't judge someone until you're in their place. So let's talk about that. What does it mean, don't judge someone until you're in their place? Okay, so this is an amazing idea. It comes from a sefer called Pri Chaim, quoting the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Chevra, how do you picture, how do you imagine the judgment is going to go at the end of your life? Or like we learned earlier, every night your neshama goes up, has a little conversation with Hashem, you know, you reassess how did the day go, what did today look like. So who do you think is, you know, who do you think is like paskining on that based in Shalmala? It's Hashem, it's the Malachim, I don't know, it's the neshamos of tzaddikim from earlier generations. Who decides your fate when you're sitting on trial in Shemayim? So the Baal Shem Tov began by explaining the Gemara in Sanhedrin and asked an amazing question. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Shela Osid Yarkiv Chiger al Asuma. Hashem is going to bring together the Chiger and the Suma. Imagine you have a person who's not able to walk, but has vision, and a person who has a strong body, but is blind. So picture, it's a powerful image the Gemara paints, picture a person who's blind, but has very powerful legs, carrying a person who can't walk, who has very powerful vision on his shoulders. And together, right, the person who can see is trying to guide, so to speak, to steer the person who's walking below, who can't see, right, steering him through this world. The neshama and the guf have a partnership. The neshama needs the guf needs the neshama. They have to work together. So the Gemara says, La'asid, Hashem is going to bring the neshama and the guf to trial. And each one is going to try to blame the other one. The neshama is going to say to the body, listen, I'm the neshama. I'm a tzaddik. I'm a chelek elokam imal. I'm pure ruchnius. I'm not interested in causing trouble. Anything that went wrong is the body's fault. Don't punish me, punish the body. And the body is going to defend itself in the world above. And the body is going to say, what are you talking about? How could that be? When the neshama is not in me, I don't do anything. I don't do anything. I don't get into any trouble. It's only when the neshama is in me that all of a sudden I'm doing things. I'm running around and I'm causing trouble. So the neshama tries to point the finger at the body. The body points the finger at the neshama. So the Baal Shem Tov says, interesting. So they need to be brought together in order to be judged, right? Because each one is a little bit held accountable. So now the question is, v'im kein kasha, eich yacholin laduna sa'adam ba'olam hazeh, when he's sleeping. When a person goes to sleep and the neshama goes up and the body remains down below, so how is there a trial? How is there a judgment? How can a neshama separated from the guf, which is again what happens when we sleep? The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Nun Zayin, right, that sleep is a 60th of Misa. So how could there be a judgment? How could there be a judgment when they're separated? Very interesting question. Right? At the end of the life. The end of the life, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is trying to figure out how to assess both of them. But there needs to be, again, the Chiger and the Suma, they need each other, so to speak, to have a full picture. So the Baal Shem Tov says, you have to understand how judging works. You have to understand what happens. The Baal Shem Tov said, "The be'emes ein donen oso l'mala b'shumonesh." In truth, Hashem actually never judges anything. Well, what do you mean? Who determines what rewards or punishments I get? You judge yourself. It's like Nasan HaNavi when he comes to David HaMelech and he gives him a mashal of a poor man who had this one little shepsala, right? And someone came and stole it, and David HaMelech says, oh, what a terrible person. He deserves to be punished terribly. And Nasan HaNavi says, by the way, David, that's you. You were the king. You didn't need to take another man's wife. Al pi halacha, okay. David HaMelech's not chote, the Gemara says. But why'd you even start up with this? You had so many other things for yourself. And this poor fellow, all he had was, all he had was his Batsheva, and you stole her away. So David, you paskin the shayla. It was a mashal, but it was you. Kain kisherotzim l'mal l'dunas ha'adam al eiz avera. This is a very scary piece. I find this to be very scary, but very powerful. When a person, neshama goes up, right? And now they have to decide what's going to be. So you know what they do? They show you the Savera. They paint the picture the same way that Nasan Hanavi painted a picture. And they say, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy's Shmira Seinayim? Oh, yeah, yeah, what a bum. What a bum this guy is, right? Yeah, you start quoting all the psukim. You talk about how important it is. You know, how could it be? They said every day in Shema. And I see, you know, you're rolling the video of this guy and you're saying, this guy deserves to be punished. So then Hashem flips it around and says, you selfish and an ignorant person, don't you realize that you're that guy? At least in some measure, you're that guy. So therefore, the Mishnah says what? Al tadinas chavercha ad shetegilam komo. The Mishnah says in last week's parak, in parak Aleph, have eidanis kol ha'adam l'kaf schus. You know why it's so important in this world to develop an ayin tov towards people? To see people in a good way? Because the way that you judge other people, the way that you paskin the shayla, is the way they're going to paskin it against you. If you look to be melamed tzchus on someone, if you try to see the good by that person, right? Al tadin es chavercha, don't judge that person, ad shetegilam komo, because you're going to end up in that exact same place. If you're machmir on him, Hashem's going to be machmir on you. But if you're sympathetic to that person, and you try to see good, and you're done the person lakaf schus, or you don't judge him at all with the understanding that if I judge him, I'm going to be held accountable exactly the same way, right? So you're doing yourself a big favor. Your mom is doing yourself a big favor. Hashem is not the one judging anything in Shemayim. Right? Hashem is not the one paskening any of the shailas. Right? The neshama and the guf are pointing fingers at each other. And it's dafka because they're seeing bad by each other that they end up being held accountable. When Hashem decides what to do with you, Hashem just asks you to paskin the shaila on someone else. And how you paskin for him is how it's going to be paskined for you. Okay? It's very late and I got to run in a minute, but let's just end with one last really beautiful idea. Why is it that if Torah is our life, and Torah gives us life, why is it that when we learn Torah with tremendous passion, and with tremendous dedication and commitment, that it makes us tired? Why is it if you really steiged, you know, and worked hard, you feel spent afterwards? It should be the opposite. You should feel energized. It's ironic. The Mishnah says that a person should be shakud lomo Torah. A person should be very driven to learn Torah. Rabbi Elazar says in Mishnah Yudalid. So the Baal Shem Tov explained, based on the Pasuk, and really Maimer Chazal. The Pasuk says in Yeshayah and Perech of Ches, the Pasuk says the following. I'll read you the whole Pasuk. I have it here. Gamzos meyem Hashem tzvakos, yatza. This too has come from Hashem. Hifli eitza higdil tushia. Hifli eitza, his eitza is, right, it's peledic, it's wondrous. Higdil tushia, and Hashem's wisdom is gadol, is abundant. Hashem's eitza, Hashem's guidance is wondrous, and Hashem's tushia, which is a lashon of wisdom, of understanding, is abundant. Amar Rabbi Chanan, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, why is Torah called tushia? Tushia again means wisdom, but it's also a lashon of tash, which means to weaken. Mipnei shehi mateshes kocha shel adam. Torah is called tushia because as smart as it is, it makes a person weak. It saps one's energy. That is such a weird Gemara. Torah is my life. Torah is my energy. Torah saps my energy. But it's true. We all know the experience of working hard in Torah and feeling like drained afterwards. It's a good feeling, but I feel drained. So why is that? Baal Shem Tov explained it in such an interesting way. V'tam lama kisha'od medaber dvarim b'teilim. Isn't it interesting that you have no problem staying up all night talking about nothing with your, you know, with your roommate? Right? And for those who are married, right? Remember the good old days, right? When you're wasting time the night, you could be up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning and you're wide awake. But I challenge you, you know, Shavuos night, like you got to shul at like 12, it's like 12:05 and you're like, oh my gosh, I need a cup of coffee so badly. Right? I don't understand. You didn't have a problem staying up all night doing other things. So what happens? All of a sudden you start telling Torah, you know, there's this heaviness upon a person. Why should that be? And the answer is, it's not so heavy on the guf. Because when you're wasting your breath and you're wasting your time, there's no life. There's nothing that's being pumped into you, right? It's empty, and an empty kli is much lighter than a full kli. כי אין בעצמם שום חייס. אבל כשעוסק בתורה בתחילו רחימו, but when a person starts to fill up, when a person starts to fill his life with substantive energy, namely the energy and the light and the chiyas of Torah, so now his kli is filling up, and a full kli is much heavier. The body becomes so full with spiritual and physical energy. So the body got heavier because now you're carrying more. Now you're full of substance. When you're an empty vessel, so you're light, right? You're carefree, right? But you're empty. כי מתחילה היה נחס ומחיוסה. וזה החיוס מחביר על הגוף כמו אדם אחר האכילה. The same way that after you eat and you fill up, your body feels heavier. So when you fill yourself up spiritually, very interesting, it makes the body, you're carrying more. And therefore, sometimes you feel weakened because now I need to find new strength to carry more. The same way that when I eat food, I feel heavier because eating sustains my life. So now my life is fuller, right? And now I'm bigger. I have more to carry. So too, when I fill up on Torah, it's a heavy thing. It's a heavy thing. But that type of, you know, weakening of the body because now I'm carrying more is the greatest thing in the world. That means my life is full. When my life is empty, so. And again, you see it sometimes. You see a person, you're like, that person seems to be having a great time. Their life is so light, right? And my life is so heavy. If your life is heavy, that means your life is filled with substance. There's a certain holy type of heaviness that comes from a person who's involved in Limud Torah. Okay, very, very interesting idea. Definitely something to think about. You know, when we put our energy into Torah and we feel weakened by it, I don't understand. Shouldn't I be lighter? No, you're fuller. Your life is fuller now. And that's something to, again, it comes with a certain heaviness and responsibility, and you know, it takes time to absorb and to find the strength to carry whatever it is that I've now brought into my life, but that's the greatest bracha in the world, to live a full life, to live a substantive and meaningful life. All right, Chevra? All right, there's a lot more, but I have to stop. I have...